Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 267, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist. It's episode 2, but for me, it's episode 1. It's a production of iHeartRadio and also a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. For all you first-time listeners, it's Tuesday, December 13th, 2022. Special happy birthday shout-out to my little sister, Caitlin.
Hey, Caitlin!
The big 4-0.
Happy birthday!
Any other days, Miles?
Well, you know, look, obviously, respect. Yeah, respect on Caitlin's B-Day. And also, I just will mention it's Hot Cocoa Day. And one that is weird, National Day of the Horse. It's like worded so fucking aggressively.
Yeah, the way they did that is...
National Day of the Horse.
Yes.
Which feels like white supremacist foreboding. For some reason.
Yeah, like Nordic.
Yeah.
Vaguely Nordic or... I mean, it could also be similar to like Year of the Pig, Year of the Rat, Day of the Horse.
It just feels like a terrible like colonizer massacre or something that is known, like the Day of the Horse, but it's just about hey, shout out
heroin,
to the fucking
right?
equine homies.
Yeah, more days should do something like that. Just like have fun with how you name it. It adds some gravitas.
Oh, right. Like. Yeah. The annual celebration of the commencement of Hot Cocoa.
Imagine if it was the horsey instead of the horse.
National Day of the Horsey.
It would undermine the seriousness of the holiday.
Nay.
Yeah.
National Day of the Horse. Fuck, I didn't even know. My horse is out in the yard. I didn't
treat
give him
right
anything.
Today.
Nothing special.
Bring
I just said,
yeah. Get that salt lick out.
Get out of here. You can't stay inside today.
Get your salt lick out.
I just said a bunch of rude shit to him like usual.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't know it was National Day of the Horse. I would have been like, listen, you
change your
whatever.
Own damn shoes.
You're looking good or whatever. I would have said that to him.
Well, shout out the horse, man.
Shout out the horse.
Yeah. My horse is in the yard.
My name is the Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Check out these pale white plumpers. Yeah, that's what I call my legs. My chubby little plumpers are the color of nogged eggs. If you hate the term plumpers, well, you're not the only one. When I call my legs plumpers, my dad will not call me son. Then one choogy Christmas Eve, Miles came to say, Jackie, with your thighs so bright,
Jackie.
Let's co-host the Daily Zeit. So now we do some podcasts on things like Shaq in a Tree. You can catch these old plumpers on Zeitgeist and on Mad Boosties. Ooh. Shout out to Josiah, JOZAIYA on Twitter said, "Accursed Daily Zeitgeist, aka what Blake Wexler birthed into existence, cannot be undone."
Mm-hmm.
We are all so much worse off for it. And amen.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, lover of Saturday. So he's Miles Gray, aka Saturday, 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 Saturday. Saturday, 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 day. Saturday day. Okay, shout out to Lockeroni for turning every morning by Sugar Ray into just Saturday over and over again, because it's just about yelling Saturday.
Saturday!
10 straight
Saturday,
hours.
Saturday! 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody has looped that for 10 hours. Chris. Hey,
what?
Who's Chris? You can find just a looped version of that part of the song for 10 hours if you're curious.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Night.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Oh, I wonder if that one. I wonder if they have that. Yeah. A Saturday. Is that Bay City Rollers? Yeah.
Yeah.
They were Bay City Rollers.
Part of my life when I was like in fifth grade.
Oh, hell really? Yeah. Okay.
People were like, they're the shit, man. They were like, kids were like, man, you think Led Zeppelin's good? You're out of your mind.
PCR.
I'm not kidding. Like, kids were dead serious about that band. Like, I remember everybody just being like, yep. I mean, music's pretty much topped out. This is it.
Jesus.
I think we're done here.
And I was like, even as a fifth grader, I was like, I don't know. I think these guys might be a flash in the pan.
They're right.
Like, oh,
wait. So,
are you kidding me?
What's it? I mean, I'm curious too, because when those songs are, they're so like saccharine. They're like, ay, ay, ay. Like, you know, they're just kind of, they're like, they feel like they were whatever the equivalent of like an algorithm is now. But
right.
And when you hear people be like, this is it. Well, I know you like were obviously the contrarian child. Were you in your mind being like, go fucking listen to blah, blah, blah.
I wasn't a music snob, but I was in fifth grade yet. No, I just, you know, but that is a funny idea. There was nothing I could turn them on to. I would have been like, you know, they're sellouts. You should listen to Captain and Tennille. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't have any.
Right. They're there was real. No, they were in the hat.
I didn't know about anybody with cred.
Oh, yeah. You like this band? Check out Casey and the fucking Sunshine Band.
Yeah, you want to hear the real deal.
Yeah, but if your fucking mind can handle it. 5-year-old or a 10-year-old sized Chris Crofton that looks exactly like the current Chris Crofton.
It's kind of true.
Smoking a cigarette and telling
except I had red hair. I did not smoke cigarettes when I was in fifth grade. I was I thought I was going to be a lawyer.
You're straight edge. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know any better, but I thought I was going to be a lawyer because it was the only job I knew about.
Hey, who's that voice? That voice is someone we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat. A hilarious stand-up comedian, actor, musician with a 7.6 rated album on Pitchfork.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to his podcast, Cold Brew Got Me, like anywhere fine podcasts are given away for free. His new book, The Advice King Anthology, is available now anywhere fine books are sold. The poetry window is open because it's Chris motherfucking Crofton!
Crofton!
What's up?
What's up?
I'm so happy. Yay. I'm so happy to be here.
Thrilled.
I'm going to clear my throat. Hold on.
I know you've been saying in your other podcasts. It's just,
I'm not kidding. My cold brew got me like clearing my throat.
Cold brew
is what
like
my fucking
my
show
throat.
Should be called. And we got to do something about it.
Question. You said when you clear your throat, what is it? What is it achieving? Is it that you're trying to knock something loose? Is that you're scratching a throat itch? Well, what? Walking through your throat.
I'm just trying to get the attention of the room.
I don't know. Certainly not. But I think I don't think that's helping the look of like older white men when they do that, because it does seem like that's what they're doing. But I think most of the time it's just something's fucking caught.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Phlegmy.
And yeah, it's not good. It's not good on a first date. It's not good. It's not good on any. It's not good for a single man to be running around clearing his throat. It's the opposite of what a woman wants. A woman wants moisture.
Mm.
Okay. Woman wants the woman
put it
not,
on a t-shirt. Put it on a t-shirt.
A woman wants people to be flexible and ready for action,
right.
Not dried out and fucking stand. You know, I'll help you with the stroller as soon as I'm done doing. You know, I'll be right there to help you with the baby.
Real bad phlegm.
Why does Daddy make a scary noise? I don't know, because he's too old. I should never have married him.
Daddy sounds like an old radiator.
Yeah. Is Daddy trying to command the room again?
I never fully... The movie Big Fish, the Tim Burton movie, like the main character, the dad, the legend dad character, repeatedly keeps saying as an old man, I was just dried out when they would like find him in a pond. I don't really remember that movie that well, but I remember that line because I was so baffled by like, were they like trying to make it a thing, like a quote? Because he says it multiple times, I think. Yeah, maybe it was just a very realistic portrayal of aging, you know?
I mean, you can look at the pictures of Miles. I'm looking at a screen right now because we're doing this via Zoom. So I'm looking at two moist dudes. Miles and
over here.
Miles and Jack both look like, you know, there's not going to be an emergency situation where they, you know, can't get to the fire exit because they're clearing their throat. And in the middle, there's me, and I look fucking dry.
Before we start recording, the last thing I say is the cords are dewy. Let's get it on.
Exactly.
I say every time.
Yeah. It's like you guys are a couple of wet boys and I'm
dry. Couple of wet boys.
Yeah. So anyway, it's kind of a thing. Like I just do everything sort of like without preparation in a way. Like, I mean, like it doesn't occur to me like, oh, you should really like clear your throat a bunch before this fucking podcast. But then yesterday it got out of hand. The one that we're putting up tonight, the new episode of Cold Brew, which is so fucking good. Like, we really have hit our stride. It's fucking funny, man. Today was the most recent one that we're putting up tonight. It's the funniest certified one we've classic ever done. Oh, it's so fucking fun. I mean, it's insane.
But the labor went into D-throat clearing.
But we had to, like, I had to, like, edit it. There's just, like, a lot of noises on there, you know? And I was just like, that is not, you know, like, I can't. We got to do something. I don't know if there's a filter, like, called, like, you know, the old, you know, young, you know,
making called wet boy. It's called
something,
wet boy.
Yeah, like a wet boy.
What are you putting your mic through? You got it like on a cloud lifter or something? You got to be putting that through a wet boy pedal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the moisturizer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got to put something
vocal
through.
Moisturizer.
That's just a plug. So anyway, we're working on it. People who are fans of the show, you know, and we have a lot of crossover. A lot of our fans are fans of you guys, of course. And so, you know, just we're working on it. Don't
if your objection was too dry, they're working on it.
They're working on them. Yeah. I'm getting my neck worked on.
pre-show medical procedure.
Yeah.
Light medical procedure.
Yeah. I mean, it's happens pretty quick too. Like, you know, it's just one minute you never clear your throat, the next minute, you know, you're fucking clearing your throat. Seriously. There is nothing, you know, I don't think, unless you're like already a famous professor or something and it's like maybe matches. Like somehow, like that could be a thing where you're, oh, he's got gravitas because he clears his throat or something because he's like already an author. I mean, I'm an author, but I'd have to be a way more successful author. But if you're like Rudyard Kipling and you're going around clearing your throat, then you're probably, it's a power move. But for me, it's just like,
it's just, what's this asshole?
I'm on Hinge. You don't want to be fucking clearing your throat while you're on your wine holiday or whatever every fucking basic motherfucker wants to do with their goddamn Hinge life.
Right.
You know, Hinge, those apps, you know, we've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
The last person they want to do a selfie with a fucking boat and a glass of wine. The last thing they want is some motherfucker clearing their throat, reminding them of their mortality.
Yeah.
Could you stop death rattling on my selfie?
Picturing like somebody with a glass of champagne in the air, boat in the background, like face to the side, catching their good face, and then you're in the background, like mid cough, with like the phlegm. Just
looks like you're dry.
You know who clears their throat less than you? Joe Biden.
I was gonna say,
Joe Biden is wet compared to you.
Mm. That's right. All right, Chris, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're gonna tell our listeners a couple of the things we might get to today. We'll see. We might talk about the next COVID wave that's coming. And how it coincides with Elon's cool joke about his pronouns. We're going to talk about Tucker Carlson getting up in arms about CBS carrying butt plugs and like how that kind of flow charted through the right. Some investigations that both new Congresses are, you know, both parties are talking about, like that they're going to go after in the new Congress. And of course, they have announced the Golden Globes. And Top Gun Maverick got nominated for Best Picture, and the right is celebrating. I guess the right like claimed that as their movie. So we'll talk about all of that, or some of that, maybe none of it. Plenty more though. But first, Chris, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay. Well, I don't know if we're allowed to. If you've listened to my podcast, you know this story. But recently, it's worth repeating. When I was in the 90s, I was working as a production assistant on a pornography, 24-hour pornography channel, like a satellite channel that showed pornography. I mean,
Spice?
I think it was Spice.
Okay.
Wow. I didn't know. I couldn't remember the name of it.
All good.
I only worked the job 2 days,
but it was okay.
More than enough. Very action-packed days.
I'm sure.
Once a month, the Spice Channel, I swear it was the Spice Channel. I just couldn't think of it. They had a live taping. Everything was like, you know, they had a bunch of VCRs running. That's all right. It was at that time in like 97 was just a bank of VCRs showing porn movies forever on a loop. And my friend, you know, not a good friend, but I mean, anyway, I'll tell you more about our friendship later. But he was running the VCRs, basically. He was just keeping the VCRs going. And so he was like, but he knew me and he, for some reason, knew that I would like this job, which was coming in on the day they had the home shopping channel for sex toys. And they had real porn stars, like big name porn stars, come in and demonstrate the sex toys.
Oh, wow.
And I got to pick out what they got to wear. And I also got to pair which one with which other one. Like I got to pick who got to be with whoever to demonstrate the products.
Oh, and my God.
My friend was basically like, this is my gift to you to do this job. Incredible.
We knew you always wanted to be a stylist for porn shoots.
I think he just knew I was into porn, you know, which is just so sad. You know, it's the same as, that's the same as saying someone's lonely.
Hey, buddy,
I know
you
you're
like
lonely.
Porn.
I mean, it's not like a quality that you want. Oh, Chris will love this because he loves porn.
I also love the idea that's like also part of the gig is you got to figure out what they're going to wear, Chris.
No, it was insane. I was like standing around holding like fucking G-strings
and holding them up next to is this more you?
And some of the porn stars were porn stars that I knew, you know,
right,
intimately. And
the guy who keeps clearing his throat and ruining the shot just told me he loves my work.
Oh, no, I was wet back then. I was moist. This is disgusting. This whole thing needs to go. this is back when I was a wet boy. So. Yeah. I had the time of my life doing that job because I was just like, I also got to see, you know, some of the porn stars were like, just like really sexual and like masturbating in the green room and stuff. And I was like,
wow,
this is like the healthy ones. You know, they're like, can't wait to get in there. I wish we were really fucking, we can't fuck on camera. You know, we can't fuck. It's only, we can't show penetration on this channel or whatever. So that was like more what I was thinking. Like that was like the free love kind of side of porn.
Right.
Like the more healthy, like I'm just super horny and I love this industry. But then there was the pimp side, like this one porn star. I don't know if I should say her name, but she's an author.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to find out, but I'll just say some porn star.
Right.
That was a big porn star at the time. My friend who ran the channel was making her say a bunch of stuff like for the pitch the channel. Like he was making her say like, spice up your living room or whatever. And then, for fun, he tried to like, in a, not a nice way, he tried to make her say big words on purpose.
Yeah.
Like he said, turn your living room into a den of debauchery. And she'd never heard that word, obviously. And she got very angry. And her pimp husband got very angry and said it was a stupid word. Still remember that. And it was turn your living room into a den of debauchery. And she, So I just wanted to interact with this porn star, I went over with a piece of paper that I had written debauchery like phonetically on,
right?
Like, and I handed it to her, and her husband was like, he was like, not a nice guy, and he was like, she doesn't need to say it, it's a stupid word, this whole thing is stupid,
right?
And like, you know, just like that kind of thing. And so anyway, she wrote a book years later, and it's called Anatomy of an Adult Film. And so I just thought, oh my gosh, because I was wondering if that woman survived. Because that seemed like a shitty relationship between her and her husband. He seemed controlling, and I didn't like it. Anyway, she survived and thrived.
Yeah.
I was going to say, was your Google search history debauchery, or was it this person's book? And it is the book.
It's the book. I just looked her up. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal to say her name, but you guys, I'm just not going to say it. But anyway, I'll say the name of her co-author. Because this is the thing. It's her book's, you know, not terrible, but just like very boring. It's about like how to make it in the porn industry. It's actually very technical.
Right.
It's kind of like just
field user's guide.
Yeah, it's like gross, like, you know, just like pointers for porn stars, like how to like take a facial and shit like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can cancel this whole episode now. So anyway, she had a co-author, turns out, for this book.
Okay.
And his name is R. Richard.
R. Richard. Interesting.
And he is the most prolific and horrible author there ever was. And he has become, I'm very interested in this man. And I also think that R. Richard is, he's obviously, I don't know, he's like simultaneously like really, really convinced of his talent, but then also embarrassed enough to call himself R. Richard.
Like the Night Stalker?
What's that?
Like the Night Stalker?
Is that his
Richard
name?
Richard Ramirez?
Like, okay, well, I don't know, but R. Richard is like not helpful for a search. If you search R. Richard on the internet, you get pretty much every result.
When you search R. Richard, it's like, you mean Richard Ramirez?
Yeah, it's just a nightmare. Star? It doesn't matter. You're just like,
wait, what?
So on her website for this book, Anatomy of an Adult Film, that she co-wrote with R. Richard, she wrote nothing. But then R. Richard wrote his whole biography. He has an avatar that looks like a Dungeons & Dragons person. He talks about how he's a kung fu fighter. And then he lists his books, okay? So he has written Anatomy of an Adult Film, but then he has a series called Second Chance, okay? Second Chance is the name of, like, you know, I guess like the John Wick or something. You know, for him, it's like a series. Like, I don't know, right. what's another series? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
the Jack Reacher books.
But this one's called Second Chance.
Second Chance.
So he has like a million books named Second Chance. And
like
then,
the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yes, except this is called Second Chance, which is like not very action-packed name for a series. You know what I mean? Like Lord of the Rings. I'm like, yeah, what's that about? Second Chance?
Yeah.
That sounds like a drug and alcohol pamphlet. Listen to this. Second Chance : God Killer. Second Chance Sky Pirate. Second Chance Scroll Seeker. Second Chance King of the Islands. Second Chance King of Zaya. Second Chance Duke of Averon. Second Chance King of Golliman. Second Chance King of the Sky. Second Chance Warlord of Afrika. Second Chance King of Araby. Second Chance King of Macedonia. Second Chance King of Avuls. Second Chance. I mean, I'm not going to even do any more of those. Okay?
Yeah, but it's then, ridiculous.
Okay, there's like a million of them.
I just found his page on Goodreads, and it says popular answered questions from him, like where I guess you get to like do a author interview. And the first one is, how do you deal with writer's block, R. Richard? I have never had writer's block.
Okay.
Not even close, asshole.
It's not. Yeah. Here and the okay, so Adventurer is another series he has. Adventurer. Right. Another fucking action packed. Man, you gotta figure out what goes before the colon. It's the first thing you see. Adventurer. Colon. Simulation problem. Adventurer. Panner problem. P-A-N-N-A-R. Adventurer. Okay. Sailing problem.
I mean.
Then just a bunch of 48
novels and 290 short stories currently.
I've just
got
to hit you with some of these titles because they're just incredible. Okay, so those are his series, Adventurer and Second Chance. And then here's just his straight up novels, right? A Programmer's Gambit, Amateur Stripper, Bondage House, Corporate Sex Slaves, Friday Night.
Ooh, that one's intriguing.
Go Naked in the Software. Grasshopper Winter, Involuntary Nude, Layoff, Not a Hero, Pirates of the Keys, Summer of Sex,
What the fuck?
The Beach Murders, The Beach Dealers, The Secret Life of Wanda Wilson.
Did you read the one that he just has one book called Big Cock?
I didn't get that, but it's I think, you know, Grasshopper Winter is my favorite.
Grasshopper Winter,
because it's
great.
Just like, I don't know what it's like. It's like you know, it's just like, I don't know, it's things you don't, you know, it's like a very, I don't know, like I think of like The Leather Decision.
I'm sorry, dude, this description of Big Cock, I don't even know what I'm reading, and I don't know if my intelligence has just drastically gone down. It just says Jim Mack is an 18-year-old man growing up with a very large cock. Hannah is a rich lady who owns a near bankrupt factory. Heather is Hannah's 18-year-old daughter. Hannah could still be a rich lady, but it the factory goes bankrupt. However, lots of people, this is the description.
Yeah, he doesn't have writer's block because he's insane.
It's just
he's never
like,
used the backspace key or the arrow.
Insane people do not have writer's block.
The whole thing just goes on to describe, like, just very plain. It's like, yeah, and then they have to, like, screw the customers for the company survive. And you're like,
yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't
boy.
Do any. He doesn't
These
do any
books.
Editing.
They have to take part in a customer sex party.
Yeah,
a thing we've all heard of.
I read a bunch of his stuff, and it's like very, very. Well, I guess the main thing is his books are 26 pages long, between 26 and like 55 pages.
That makes sense. I think
that's long for a like college essay.
And he is so cocky in his like his autobiography and stuff. Like, I mean. I just feel like he should mention that his books are
like three
50
sentences.
Pages long.
Yeah.
That's cheating. I mean,
I'm pretty fucking prolific, man, with my two paragraph books I've been working on for a
few
years now.
Hey, he doesn't decide when the book ends. The book decides when
it
ends.
All right.
And
fair.
He's
so,
just
that's
there.
Fair.
He hits print and.
Yeah.
And he also classic. Describes like driving. Like I read a part where he just describes driving like way too much. Like he says, like, I got in the car and then I started the car and I drove the car and then I went to this other place and then I stopped the car and got out of the car. Like he's
Repetition.
Real focused on like
yeah.
details Powerful you don't tool. Want.
It's also interesting too on good on Goodreads. Most of his books have 5 stars with like I would say 90% all have just 4 ratings.
4 reviews.
It's like
and
he
exactly
has four
ratings.
Accounts that he just used to be like 5 star, 5 star, 5 star. Like,
yeah, like I don't know. I just think it'd be fun to get the audience like going on naming like alternate R. Richard books. R. Like, you know, I just feel like, you know, the double decker turtle, the
double decker turtle party. Nude Town is one.
Nude Town?
Yeah, Nude Town.
I just think, I'm trying to think of a good one. You know, like the complicated badger or the involuntary badger. Oh, you know, Toy Horrors is one of them. He has another series called Vix the Marine and Vix the Force Leader. I can only imagine what that's like. I mean,
hey mom, it's R. Yeah, just calling you back because I checked my Goodreads page again. And I noticed that Big Cock still has three 5-star reviews. I'm still waiting on the fourth from you. You don't even have to read it, Mom. I gave you the synopsis in painstaking
detail. Just click that hyperlink I email you and Dad and just do the 5 stars. Okay,
and,
cool.
Yeah, so anyway, I just think people should be aware of R. Richard and his work.
Yeah.
And, you know, his autobiographies, he says, I've published 44 novels and over 150 short stories. I spent my early years in the part of Los Angeles known as South Central. I was known as White Boy, which was sufficient to identify me in that place. I'm a skilled kung fu player using a system that I learned from a Korean I knew only as Pac. It would be easier to tell you the places that Pac wasn't wanted by the police rather than the places where he was wanted by the police. See, and that's what in that sentence you get an idea. He repeats himself, like, you know what I mean?
That rules, actually.
Pac's kung
man.
Fu system.
I found one of R. Richard's sock puppet accounts that he uses to big up his ratings. All right, never mind. I'm going.
I thought
too
you
deep.
Guys would know. You guys would know how to handle this better than me. I didn't. I don't have the technical ability to exploit R. Richard.
I know. Yeah, so, Chris, you put me on the. I'm on the scent now, and
yeah,
I'm like,
good.
Who's
okay.
Sandor?
That's what I was hoping. I mean,
wow.
I hope it wasn't.
Sandor has 244 reviews. All of them are R. Richard books.
I just feel like you should know. Yeah, you should know. Yeah.
Sandor, so, wasn't that the name, one of the names in one of the titles of his book?
Yeah.
Like from Planet Sandor or something?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Maybe they're just a big fan, you know? I mean.
Funny. Yeah. His review of Big Cock is him just doing like the 3-paragraph version of the description written by R. Richard. Like the review by Sandor of Big Cock, it says, Jim Mack is growing up with a very large cock. This is
just summarized.
Yeah. Like so.
Yeah, it's real dry. It's real dry. And his pants were big to accommodate the cock.
And then, yo, right. I love the last part. It says, when the staff then screws up, Jim arranges a party where the wives of the staff get some nude revenge. Last sentence, a lot more plot than you might think.
See, that's the gold. Because no one's ever written that down.
Yeah, hold the fuck
No one's
up
ever written that down. A lot more plot
than you might think. I go for the most plot per minute. That's what I'm looking
for. Yeah, where's your next book? Big Plot, R. Richard. We want to see that one.
That's my latest internet search R. Richard. Yeah, good luck. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just enjoy. I don't know. Someone do a book report on Second Chance King of Golliman.
Yeah. I mean, we might have to do a R. Richard book club at some point.
I like it. I like, The Secret Life of Wanda Wilson.
Right.
There's more, too. There's way more.
His writing style may be dry, but he's a wet boy. That's actually from his autobiography.
Yes. Yeah. And his writing style is summed up in that sentence where he says, like, it would be easier to describe the places that he is not he's wanted employment. Than the places that he is also wanted or whatever. He's just very clunky.
Yeah, that bio, like, this guy is such a pathological liar too. There's so much more going on here because, like you said, like that bio that you read, Chris, where he's like,
yeah,
I grew up in the part of Los Angeles known as the South Central.
Yeah, he's out of his fucking mind. I think he's a guy who like lives in his mom's house, certainly. And he's not a skilled kung fu player because nobody who's a skilled kung fu player has ever said that because you would get knocked out if you said that to another.
Oh, yeah. Player. Well, I knew him. This guy, this Korean who trained me, his name was Pak.
Yeah. And it would be easier to tell you the places that Pak wasn't wanted by the police rather than the places where he was wanted by the police.
I mean,
so,
paint a picture.
Yeah. In case you don't think I'm real. So anyway, R. Richard, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. That's been Search History. We'll be back with Overrated, Underrated, and maybe one of the stories. We'll see. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And Chris, yes. We do like to ask our guests, especially you, what is something you think is overrated?
Overrated, I'm going to say Los Angeles.
Go on.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know.
It's trouble. That's what I'm talking about.
I've got my dukes up. I mean, the listeners can't see it, but
do you really feel like you're defending Los Angeles?
No, not at all.
Los Angeles is so big. Can you feel like you could defend part of it, but you can't defend the whole thing?
Yeah.
But no. I'm just trying to cause a little trouble because I'm back in M-Town, Madison, Tennessee.
M-Town, as it's known.
Up the street from Nashville. I'm in the real Nashville.
Hell yeah, right. Maddie.
It's like, I was thinking about ways to describe where I'm at. Madison is like an informal gathering of the juggalos.
Oh.
Or
okay,
Broke Burbank.
Oh. Whoa, okay, that's that paints a picture.
It's mostly vape stores. It's almost all vape
stores. I'd prefer to be at an informal juggalo gathering than any version of Burbank, to be honest.
Yeah, it's better than, sure. It's better, yeah, than Burbank. It's
like did you
Burbank
say that because like it is endearing? Because when you said informal gathering of the juggalos, I'm like, all right, whoa, like let's pull up. But
what? Are you a juggalo?
Hell yeah, bro. Great Malenko. Are you serious?
I am serious. I didn't know you.
Oh,
were
yeah,
juggalo.
Yeah, man. I've been fucking with them for a minute, man.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. No, that's really cool.
No, I just remember watching that documentary American Juggalo when it came out.
Yeah.
And like when, you know, the Gathering of the Juggalos was always like, oh man, you know, what kind of wild shit goes on? I'm like, oh, these people are just fans of a thing and they get fucked up. So
yeah. This is like that. Madison, Tennessee is like that. It's vape stores and people looking for groceries.
Okay.
And that's what happens. It's like there's a lot of trouble in the parking lots of these vape stores because people don't want to vape, but they're being forced to vape because there's no food available. So there's and everybody's
desert.
Dressed up like they just came from a swingers party or a Craigslist random encounter.
Mm-hmm.
It's really you see a woman that's dressed like Slash,
right,
from Guns N' Roses,
right,
interacting with some hipster who moved here because they can't afford the rent because their dad won't give them any more money or something. So they had to move to they couldn't live in East Nashville anymore. So they moved up the street, you know? And so there's like hipsters interacting with people who want to murder hipsters, you know? And
oh,
like,
I love that.
It's the really, tension. And everything's just, everybody's wearing the craziest clothes. It kind of makes me happy. You know, it kind of makes me happy because everybody in Los Angeles wears those fucking short pants and those big white sneakers and the fucking knit hat. And everybody here wears like whatever the fuck they found on the ground or, you know, whatever they found at you know what I mean? Like they'll wear velvet hot pants with a halter top. I don't even know what clothes are. I can't describe.
Hey,
clothes.
Man, don't say that. I'll slag yourself off. You used to style the live Home Shopping Network porn specials, man. You know something about garments.
I forgot
Chris.
To
Come
tell
on
you one of the porn stars asked me what I was doing that night and I totally chickened out because I was just like such a I could have dated. I could have.
It's
dated.
Intimidating. I get it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It was such a bad. It still haunts me. Like when I'm asleep, like trying to get to sleep.
I know. And for the listeners out there, this is the 17th time we've had to edit out that mention from Chris about the porn star who asked him what he was doing later. We apologize. That one got through.
Yeah.
But hey, it's all right. It's all right, man.
Madison is also like right across from the end of my street is Smeraldo's, which is a closed down club that Johnny Cash used to drink at. Which is just this, just a dump. You know, it's like a dumpy 1970s place that he would go. It's mentioned in his autobiography, but it's just there. It's just a shell of itself. And I've been thinking about going down there and trying to metal detect or
see, you know, trying to get,
see if he dropped anything. See if Johnny Cash dropped any stuff there.
Wait, so it is closed down.
Oh, like, yeah. And I could just think about getting in there and maybe, you know, just tearing up the carpet and seeing if anybody left it. pocket watches or whatever.
Hey, make sure you have a GoPro on and put on a YouTube channel.
Yeah, because back then, you know, I'll have to wait in line though, of course. People will be like, there's like four other vloggers ahead of me.
Hey guys, here at Smeraldo's. Hey guys, here at Smeraldo's. You can actually hear the other people recording in the background.
Totally, and that happens, you know.
What's
you've
up,
seen
Treasure Family? It's your boy here at Smeraldo's. Now, this is a legendary light knife fight scene in Nashville back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, like I gotta wait to look. Yeah, and then somebody plants a doll, like some, you know, I talked
about
that, like vloggers plant a doll, like, oh shit, there's a weird doll in here. You saw him,
just sitting in the middle of a place,
dude. Yeah. I saw you pull that out of your fucking fanny pack.
I hear a ghost in the background.
I saw you pull that fucking creepy doll out.
Haunted dolls is big business on the internet, so
I've seen that. That's
sense.
Scary. That's not good. I mean, the people who have that, I've seen that on the internet. Yeah, the people who have like a haunted doll collection and they sit at their house with a bunch of dolls and that's not good.
It's called kicking it with the homies.
If your neighbor's doing that, I mean, imagine behind a drawn curtain what's going on, especially up here in Madison, Tennessee. I'm trying to get it as a major player now as a town. Like it's not,
Madison,
I'm going to bring
Tennessee.
It M-Town. Yeah. Like it's a place to go if you want to vape.
Hell yeah.
Madison Most Foul.
Smoke Mountain. There's a place called Smoke Mountain right near me.
I mean, that rules. What is it? A vape store?
Yeah, vape.
Okay. It's like barbecue plate? Oh, no.
But it's kind of incredible. If you want to get food up here, you might as well fucking forget it. I mean, you know, you can have a Burger King or vape.
Hey, what about Roma Pizza and Pasta right there by the Walmart?
Are you looking at your fuck? Are you prowling?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Prowling. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a funny thing. There are some LA looking people here.
Yeah.
Like who wear that knit cap and those short pants and stuff.
How's Witt's Barbecue across from Smoke Mountain?
When you say short pants, are you just talking about shorts?
No, I'm talking about short Capri. Pants. You know what I'm
like
talking about? Those trust fund ladies who wear the freaking giant white sneakers and the freaking short, the pants that show their ankles, like, or, you know, like they wear socks. Like
a, yeah, you yeah. like a okay. crop pant with like the big old chunky Balenciaga sneakers, like
yeah, and like a big chunkers. Sweatshirt or something.
It's called high low, bro. It's called high low, high fashion with some low brow pieces, dude. Just like the juxtaposition of the two. You know what I mean?
Right. Whatever. But in yes, that's they might say that. They might say that. I don't know if you look up the lady who did the. There's a Boomtown Rat song called "I Don't Like Mondays." That's about a woman who shot a bunch of people coming out of school, and she had that look going way before all these ladies did. So if you want to look at where that knit cap, short pants, big white sneakers look came from, yeah. It came straight out of the shooter. I think her name's Brenda something or other. But anyway, that's Los Angeles is, you know, people from Kansas dressing up like that, whatever it is. You know, that's what L.A. is, and that's why I'm feeling free now to put down L.A. because I left.
Yeah,
and so
you're out of here.
I might be back, though, so I got to be little. Plus, I'm going to come back.
We'll be waiting for you, asshole.
I'll come back. I'll come back also and just pretend I never left because I never saw anybody when I was there anyway. Nobody knows you left in L.A. Oh, you've been busy? And you're just like, I've been busy. Oh, yeah, what have you been doing? None of your business. A lot of big-time shit. Judd Apatow. How about that?
Saying his name.
What
yeah,
about
how about
it?
That? Where'd you go, Chris? Oh, I don't know. A little name called Judd Apatow. Judd Apatow. How'd he get that? Well, he didn't even say he got anything.
Just said his name three times.
Crofton's kicking ass. I was wondering where Crofton was. He must be he was kicking ass. Judd Apatow. Fuck. Yeah. So anyway, while all you guys are all enjoying your fake it till you make it, I'm down here where you make it till you fake it.
There you go.
That's right.
In
getting
M-town.
All your vitamins from fruit flavored vape cartridges.
Madison, exactly. Tennessee, where you vape whether you like it or not.
It's just required. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Let's take one more break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And Chris, we do like to ask our guests what's something you think is
just
underrated.
Underrated. Here we go.
Today is underrated is I saw this movie last night. I don't know if it's underrated or not, but that movie it's called like The Blood and the Madness or something like that. It's a documentary about the Sackler family and Nan Golden, the photographer. And I was not ready for what a great movie that was.
All the Beauty and the Bloodshed?
Yes.
Okay.
That movie is a crusher of a movie. It's not just about the Sackler family. It's about Nan Golden. Ostensibly, it's about a documentary by Laura Poitras, who did, I forget. She's done a couple, some big things. it's just a beautiful movie. I recommend it. But I guess what I would say is, like, I forget this is overrated or underrated, but underrated is is going through your childhood and, like, dealing with, if you had a difficult childhood, like if your household dynamic was rough, like if you're a lot of the movie is about her appraising her relationship with her parents. And in a way that's really, her parents are still alive. So she pretty fearlessly, and I don't think she had a choice because her upbringing was so difficult, but it was not, this is the thing. It was like in a suburb with parents that it was not like, she was not like abused physically, but she basically comes right out and says, my parents were not ready to have kids. They should not have had kids. Because right. She doesn't, and Nan Goldin, I don't know, there's something about the way she speaks that's very authoritative. Like you really know that my parents should not have had kids.
Right.
You know, and she's not kidding. You know what I mean? Like, she said they were kids themselves. And I feel like that about my parents. And I, you know, they're going to probably hear the show. And I think it's the truth. I mean, back then, kids married other kids. They had kids because they were supposed to. And some really crazy shit ensued because they did not know how to parent. And so we have a whole generation of people that have had this kind of parenting where the parents were just kids, so they just made everything about themselves in a way. So the kids were just there as like little dolls or, you know, little just set dressing for 1950s or 1960s or 1970s nuclear family values. And mm-hmm. the damage that that does to the kid, because you grow up feeling like you're a fucking side end table or something, or you're a lamp. Yeah. And then you grow up and try and have a relationship or something, and you realize that you don't know what your own feelings mean because you never had a space for them as a kid. So as a kid, like in my home, my parents argued so much that I just kept quiet. I mean, I just kept quiet and tried to stay out of the way. I hid in my room. I held myself physically. I mean, I when I've talked to my therapist, I even get deep enough into, like, I would hold myself in physical positions to try and make them stop arguing. Like you turn yourself into like almost like a totem or an object to try to make the yelling stop, but you can't do it because you're a child. So, because parents back then didn't realize children were like not just miniature adults.
Right.
They didn't know that they were like, could get impacted like physiologically by all this stress. So, you know, you grow up and then you turned your feelings off at some point as a kid. And then when you try and turn them back on, they're the thing you're the least familiar with. And they're pretty much the most important thing you need to know. Like if you want to have friends and relationships, like your self-worth is very difficult for you to determine because, you know, it's like you've been sort of in a way in that atmosphere devalued or something, because you have to like you're just treated like you're something in the room that is not important or something.
Yeah, it's like, or whatever you have to say isn't important, and that is like, that can play a huge part in so ignoring your own emotional
state. When you
state.
Finally get out of the house and you try and speak on a date or something, you realize, oh, I think I'm a piece of shit. Like I have no self-worth because I just never have had that reflected back at me. Like, so anyway, this movie addresses that in a huge way because her parents were so obsessed with appearances that her sister was a lesbian and they put her in a mental hospital.
Jesus.
And the mental hospital report, and I don't want to give too much away, but just because it is like a very interesting movie. It's got a lot going on. It's like, it's also about the Sacklers and the opioid crisis because Nan Goldin got addicted to OxyContin, but it's kind of about holding her parents accountable, and it's kind of about holding the Sacklers accountable and keeping up appearances in museums with the Sackler name and them trying to get them to take the Sackler name down, and museums being very uncomfortable with that because they are worried about the perception, just the way her parents were worried about their perception. I mean, it's all like very skillfully.
Right.
Anyway, I recommend it. I cried my head off.
Yeah.
And me and my brother talked for an hour and a half afterward about just like the whole growing up, you know? Yeah. And I really don't mean that to be harsh on my parents. I really don't. They were just following the rules. You know, the rules were you get married and then you have kids or else you're a freak.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't matter if you're not grown up enough to do that. You just do it. And it just leads to a lot of trouble. And you know, it's still going on.
Seriously.
Anyway, that's it. Did I do a good job?
You did a great job.
I didn't take over
always.
Okay, what about good. Big Incredible. Cock by R. Richard, though?
Well, there's that, too. You can also just, like, forget about your childhood and read about big cocks.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's interesting, too, man, because I remember so much, like, my parents talking about the cycles that they were trying to break, like, just as adults. I remember, like, as I got older and, like, talking to my dad and having, like, more adult conversations with him, talking about the pressures of, like, growing up in like the 60s when people are just like, I don't know what the fuck mental health is. Like, look, I just fought in a war. I'm black. The world is fucked up. We're trying to make the best we can. And so many things that get absorbed by like, you know, people of my grandparents' age, their kids. It's interesting to see how much self-awareness it really fucking takes to be able to be like, fuck, like I could do this breathlessly and keep these sort of cycles going. You need some like level of self-awareness to know like, oh, what am I doing this thing where like I'm completely disregarding my child because they're a child and what do they know? Because this is just how things should be in a house, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, it's interesting to just see like how even now, like a documentary like this or a lot more media now is about kind of looking at our parents and kind of like having a reckoning with that. And I think this is obviously in a much more like clear eyed documentary way versus like a lot of the narrative stuff that's come out the last year and a half.
Well, how having to do it also while you don't want to disown your parents and you want to love your parents.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can forgive them, but you also can't on some level interact with them in that old way because it makes you feel like a kid. You know, it's like, when I'm around my parents, they are similar to the way they used to be. So I start feeling like that trauma because I feel like I'm 8 years old again, you know, and I feel like I'm, because I mean, the idea of asking your kid, how do you feel? That's the thing that was missing from that entire equation. So like, you know, when the parents grew up and had kids, they also didn't ever have that question asked to them. So like, you know, like the dad was still trying to figure out how he felt about his kids and stuff. Like, I mean, just didn't have the language or the, you know, it's like a learned, I think we're making progress. Anyway, I recommend this movie very highly. I don't know if it's underrated or not, but go see the, what's it called again?
All the Beauty and the Bloodshed.
That's it. That's a hard one to remember.
It's a good title, though.
It's a good name for R. Richard. Book.
I don't know if he's quite up to a title like that, but
no, he would. What would he call it? What would he call that movie? All the Beauty and the Bloodshed. He would call it like
it would be called like Pain Pills and Naked Parents or something like that.
Like something like 20% worse than that. Yeah. I had heard about that because it's on a lot of top 10 lists, which actually ties right into kind of one of our stories, the Top Gun Maverick getting nominated for the Golden Globes. And, you know, the right is claiming that as like, finally, America's ready to like movies that are cool and portray the military as sexy. And this past weekend, A.O. Scott from the New York Times published his top 10 movies of the year, and All the Beauty and the Bloodshed was number 9. But he was bombarded by trolls because a self-described movie podcaster criticized his list for not including Maverick, and Elon Musk hopped in and was like, that's because the New York Times has gone full woke. So that's the thing that's happening. Like, I'm seeing it with people who are fans of Everything Everywhere All at Once are like berating people who don't put it on the list, and people are like, I've never even heard of. So that same podcaster devoted a whole episode of their show to criticizing A.O. Scott's list of movies, claiming that no one had ever seen any of them. By the way, his number one was Nope. And also just like spent all the time talking about how like no one had heard of any of these movies and they're a movie podcaster. Like, spending an hour bragging about all the acclaimed movies you've never heard of.
Yeah, like, what?
It's a weird look for a movie podcaster. But I don't know. Yeah, just if there's a list of movies that you don't know and people are saying are good, there's probably a pretty good chance that you're going to find some really compelling shit on there. And maybe don't just assume automatically that everything that you saw that year must be way better than that.
Is it that they don't like that it was left out of the top films, or are they more invested in the narrative that Top Gun is the best film of the year because pro-military shit like this is number one? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's not like saying like, well, you know, I feel like this, that, and the other. I feel like it's almost like somebody who's upset that their top 10 list isn't reinforcing like this broader culture war message of like, dude, shit from the 80s is still fucking cool, including our takes on policy and politicians.
Right. Yeah.
I think big picture, they want the middle class back. You know, somehow Top Gun represents some, like, for them, like, America. You know, like, that's America. That's what America's about, is like everybody has a job and they're a pilot.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what I remember about America. Right. Everybody was a pilot and had a brand new plane and
a plane in every garage.
Had money in their pocket and did karaoke and had a hot girlfriend. That's what America was. I'm tired of this new America.
America did have a middle class in the 80s.
Yeah, everybody got a plane. I remember when I was growing up, everybody got a plane, had a nice hairdo, everybody had a nice hairdo and sunglasses.
Motorcycles were faster than fighter jets.
Everyone was white and everybody was flying around in planes. I grew up. I miss that. That's what I want to see in movies. I want to see movies about when America had more planes in it.
Yeah.
And fast people and nice people and good people that worked hard and had big heads, nice hairdos.
Yeah.
When Tom Cruise was everybody. I remember when I was growing up, everybody looked like Tom Cruise.
Everybody.
And had a plane and it went fast. And they were strong and fast and good and drank beer and didn't have any trouble about it.
Sliding around houses on the wood floors in our underwear. And
they still
white shirts.
Woke up early. They still went to work, even though they had a hangover. And they never talked to their kids or their wife or anything. But that's the way it was. And that's how it worked.
And there's no such thing as PTSD.
Yeah, and Top Gun is bringing back jobs to America. If every movie is a woke movie, then we're not going to have as many jobs in this country. We need more movies about jobs.
Facts.
What's their love? Is it just that it's all war? Like, yay, 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 bomb them.
Yeah, well, but it's interesting, right? Because a Breitbart columnist, like at the time, said Top Gun Maverick is a masculine, pro-American, stridently non-woke blockbuster.
Ugh,
the movie actually did like feature a more diverse cast than the original. And if the movie bombed, Breitbart definitely would have been like, this is why it bombed, because they had the more diverse cast. So, did with Lightyear, for instance.
People need real, they've gone crazy and they think that movies can bring back the middle class or something. Like, if we had enough movies about jobs or something. If we had more movies that showed people acting normal, like a regular person back in the 1950s, like we all did, then people would stop getting these crazy ideas and they would have jobs again, at the factories.
Right. Because there's no major party that actually does anything that affects change, this is the level that it gets fought at, is in conversations about, exactly.
The people have gone fucking crazy. Yeah. They've gone fucking crazy because the middle class has gone away. And that just has led to all kinds of trouble because I don't want to go off about it, but just that I feel like that's what people are going crazy and they think things that have nothing to do with why they're unhappy can fix why they're unhappy.
Yeah, exactly.
If the movies were just, this way, then everything would be fine and I would be able to get a girlfriend without being nice, just the way you used to be able to. I wouldn't be an incel if there were more movies about plane drivers.
Yeah.
Everybody should drive a plane and have a nice hairdo, and then I can have a girlfriend. I mean, it's nutty shit.
Yeah.
Nutty. This woke movie is taking away my opportunity to get laid as a total piece of shit.
Well, it's this other thing, too, where they think that the decisions made by, 15 people on the west side of L.A. is, what's determining, the course of, humanity and our culture. Like, I get it. You're like, see, this thing that did well aligns a little bit more with my rah-rah jingoistic bullshit that I'm into. But then to be like, and because that's there, we're winning that fight. When the real reason you're looking at people move into the ideologies they are, it's not because of the fucking movies, because of what their lived experiences are. And I get, to everyone's point, it's but it's easier to be Top Gun, Top Gun, Top Gun.
Yeah, yeah. We just need more Top Guns. If we had just movies like The Passion of the Christ and Top Gun on the top 10 list, then everyone would have a job and two cars and fucking health insurance like they used to.
Actually, Chris, I'll go one better. No one would even need health insurance because they would be imbued with the message of Christ's love. That's how I see us getting around this whole health insurance conundrum, honestly.
Also, every fucking clunky dude who's never been seen by his parents, who doesn't know how to ask a girl out because he's got no self-worth because he was treated like a lamp by his goddamn religious parents or whatever, he doesn't know how to get on a date anymore because no movies are telling him how to do it. Do you know how many fucking people must have actually reenacted that you've lost that love and feeling scene from fucking Top Gun and successfully seduced someone because they saw it in a movie? You know how many people probably got wives and husbands out of doing things they saw in movies?
The
underwear scene.
I
married Brad because he impersonated the underwear scene from Risky Business perfectly. He did it on our wedding day. He came out at our wedding and came out of the cake and had underwear on.
Miles might remember from when we worked in the same office, but I don't enter a room any other way.
That's why chills go up my spine when I hear,
Jack's whole personality comes from that movie, apparently. I didn't know that. But yes, Jack's always sliding into the... And that, if there are no movies to copy like that, how are we going to have a life like we used
to have? No, that's true. Because, yeah, you think of like people who's like, especially like the kinds of MAGA sort of like charismatic figures, they're the kinds of people who could be like, I can fucking quote every Meatballs film.
Exactly.
If you ask
me. And that
me
used to get me jobs.
Yeah. And like that made me the funniest fucking person. Now when I say shit like that, I'm a misogynist.
No one even knows what it is.
Right.
Because everybody's got different streaming services.
Right. Because the movies are saying that that's not good anymore. And I think that's an interesting point is like dudes whose whole personality was based on movies are like, well, this shit's getting me in trouble and I don't know any other way.
And I would argue that was most of America. Anybody who's ever had a regular job that kept these kind of people occupied so they wouldn't be yelling at some movie reviewer because they didn't know any of the movies. Was they would be too busy getting laid by impersonating Meatballs. And now they're like all like, I don't know, I can't impersonate anything. Because, you know, another thing about not being seen as a kid is you don't develop a personality. So you develop a pop culture personality. And it used to be in the 90s, you wanted to get laid. You talked about fucking Seinfeld. Everybody watched the same show. Nobody can get laid anymore who's an idiot.
Yeah, you're like, I don't have all the streaming services.
If we had every movie was Top Gun, I could impersonate that movie, and then I could get laid, and then I could have a life. But now, woke people have made it so I gotta know stuff. And have a personality.
One conservative TV host claimed that back in June, specifically because the box office success of Maverick had happened, that that was going to translate into votes for the Republicans in the upcoming midterm election.
Exactly.
So. People are so stupid.
Yeah.
It's insane.
We're fucked. We're fucked when like people who are like whose takes are actually being like considered by like political leadership are like, dude, that movie did well. People will forget that you're taking away human rights and completely ignoring Earth death or just like living wages. Yeah, yeah, that'll do it.
Top Gun's doing well. I think they're ready for the Roe versus Wade reversal.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
I think I've read
shit,
the room.
That's right.
Oh, we were wrong.
Oh, we were wrong.
How'd
that happen?
Better keep pressing.
Samuel Alito probably watches fucking. I can't even imagine. He probably watches fucking the original Top Gun nonstop.
He probably
sweating.
Watched. He probably watched Soul Man to prepare to like meet Clarence Thomas.
Imagine Judge Alito's sense of humor. Probably total straight up. Like you lost that loving feeling, like with a salt shaker and the
just always close talking people after a dissenting opinion and saying you can still be my wingman.
Exactly.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Man,
like yeah,
that was way too close.
in the lunchroom at the fucking Supreme Court.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court fucking commissary.
Supreme Court calf. Yeah.
He's like, you lost that loving feeling.
We have fun here, don't we, folks?
Top Gun Goose. Top Gun Goose. Am I funny?
You're more of a goose. I'm more of a maverick, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I guess I'll take the maverick today. I had the goose yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the potato.
Come on, girl. What do you mean I ain't cool? Highway to the danger zone.
What are you so excited about, Alito? I just overturned Roe versus Wade. Highway to
fucking the dark. Fuck?
Well, Chris, as always, a true pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where
was
can
that
people
the end of the
find
show?
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Holy God, I fucked it up again.
No.
We only did one topic.
That's
I'm in trouble.
We did so much more than that. So
okay,
much more
I'm
than
in
that,
trouble.
Chris.
I feel like,
we
all
talked
right.
about parenting, the fucking relics of 80s films, and explaining the situation we're in today.
Okay.
Who the fuck R. Richard is? Chris, come on now, baby.
Come on. You introduced us to R. Richard.
I'm so glad to be on the show again. I always am. I'm not kidding. I'm grateful for you guys and wish you continued success. I don't know why I said that part, but I wish you continued success. Well, that's just straight cold brew. I say that to everybody when I leave a room. I wish you all continued success. Oh, that's that fucking cold brew guy. You can find me at The Crofton Show on Twitter. I've been on there less lately just because I've been have more jobs to do.
There you go.
But I'll be doing the poetry window on there and Instagram at The Crofton Show as well. And most importantly, go see my show. I'm playing live in Chattanooga this Thursday, the 15th. I'm reading from a book. I'm playing music. I'm doing stand up. All the same show, like the Chris Crofton Variety Hour. And that's in Chattanooga this Thursday night. At Lomain, the bar is called Lomain, and a great comedian named Sam Severin is opening up for me. And then December 30th in Nashville, I'm also doing a show at the Five Spot here in town. And go listen to our podcast. And I have a new podcast behind the paywall on Patreon for $3 a month. You can listen to Cold Brew Got Me Listening, where I introduce you to artists that I love. And I've done 6 episodes on that. And I've the most recent one's about John Denver.
Oh, amazing. Nice. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah, I did that again. I always fuck that up. You guys go first.
Okay. Miles, how about you? Where can people find you with the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter and Instagram and, you know, other, I think, Hive Social and the Mastodon.
Mastodon.
Are you on Mastodon?
No. We're going to call it Mastodon, though, just so you know officially on this show. It's called Mastodon. Yeah, at Miles of Gray. You want to hear basketball? Well, guess what? You can check Jack and I out on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Okay, Boosties. That's every Thursdays, talking NBA. And then also, if you want to hear me talk 90 Day Fiancé, check my other podcast out with Sophia Alexandra for 20 Day Fiancé. And a tweet that I like, man, obviously I like everything that's talking about Elon Musk just getting fucking booed to hell at the Chase Center.
Yeah.
But I'll just like this tweet, which is just very straightforward, an article about that event. It's from Dr. Angela Rasmussen at Angie_Rasmussen tweeted, "New Twitter might be hardcore, but it's got nothing on reality." Quote, and this is from the Skizmode album. "The booing got louder as Musk wandered around on stage with a microphone in hand. Musk started pacing and waving, clearly unsure what to do about such a negative reaction."
It's worth watching the video.
Straight into me veins.
He deserves every fucking bit of it. Although it's not his fault, because he shouldn't exist. He should be taxed out of existence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just be a regular guy who just wants to be best friends with Dave Chappelle. And also Dave Chappelle, my God, what a self-own. He was doing Buddha-lingus on Elon Musk for like 5 minutes. I'm like, in this, wow, look who I brought up. It was, woo.
All kinds of stink.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle brought out Elon Musk for like the last 8-10 minutes of his show in San Francisco, and he got booed to the apps just off
good,
the earth.
Good,
and they both didn't know what to do. Like, even Dave Chappelle was like, "I thought my cred would at least protect him," and everyone's like, "Nah, fuck all of you."
Jesus, yeah.
At @grillpill_ tweeted, "Babe, you want to come over and read too far into each other's tone? You do? Why'd you say it like that?" And then Z Emerson World of Echo tweeted, Lou Reed voice, "Heroin, it's Borat voice, my wife," Lou Reed voice, and Bon Jovi voice, "It's my life." I enjoyed that. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find our episodes and our footnotes. But before we get to the music recommendation, Chris, did you find a tweet you've been enjoying?
I found a tweet, but it's my tweet.
Hell yeah.
That's perfect.
So it's "Attention Red Hot Chili Peppers, I just thought of this lyric and you can have it. I put a clam in the file cabinet."
I put a clam in the file cabinet.
Yeah. The first one I ever put up was I hit a dolphin with a yardstick. So there's a lot of, if you like Red Hot Chili Peppers, or that's what I do on there.
Amazing. Miles, how about a song? Is there a song?
"Put the clam in the filing cabinet."
Wow.
"I put a clam in the file." Can't. Sorry.
"As I go through the shelves of my personal life."
Oh, Dwight Eisenhower. Another one was Dwight Eisenhower with a toucan on his shoulder.
"And then I see Dwight Eisenhower."
I can't even do it.
"With a toucan on his shoulder." Okay. I got a toucan on your shoulder. What song are we going to do? Oh, I found this. I heard this wild mashup on the radio on KCRW that was mashing up Portishead with Griselda. Wow. And it's Mysterons mashed with Dr. Birds. And I could only find this on YouTube. So search Cutso, C-U-T-S-O. It's like this DJ who does these mashups. And search for Mr. Birds, M-Y-S-T-E-R-B-I-R-D-S. Mr. Birds, because it's obviously a combination of those two. This kind of a really, it's like not the most like complex mashup, but it's nice to see how like the two instrumentals work together. So this is Mr. Birds by Kutso.
Amazing. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.